Good morning, everyone. Please let me know if you have a problem hearing me or if I need to do any adjustments. It's a humbling honor, and it's a humbling experience to be asked to come speak here before you all for my family here at my home assembly away from home. And it's a privilege to be able to do this morning. I'm really just thankful for this opportunity. And it was an encouraging time to think about the topic and study the topic and present it before you this morning. It's my desire that the Lord will speak through me, as was prayed earlier, and that it'll be His words in what I'm sharing today, just to be an encouragement to you as the message was to myself. As you heard, my name is Justin John, and my dad, George P. John, will be speaking later. He is like my spiritual father, and he's lovely, affectionately called him growing up Daddy John, and so I can call George B. John Dad as well, and we share the same last name, which is nice and convenient. As mentioned also, this is Lovely's home assembly, and this is now our, as we're married, and our parents' home assembly. I am proud to call this Edmonds Lane Bible Chapel my home assembly, and it's always a great joy to be here and to visit. And so once again, it's a joy and an honor. I'm going to go ahead and open up in prayer before we start the message. Father God, we just thank you once again for this great privilege and joy that we had to come before your table this morning. We were here to remember in a very special way, Father, what it was that you were willing to do for us and the love that you had for us that was so great, so immense, that our Savior Jesus Christ was able to and willing to go to the depths of despair to rescue us from where we were. We thank you so much for that privilege, and we thank you for the time that we have to open up your word. I pray that you just speak to me, Father, and give the grace to me to share your word as you've shared it with me, and that I could be an encouragement here to the fellow saints, and that you'll continue just to help us to be inspired to live a life and to follow your word and to seek your word for instruction in dealing with all the challenges of this world, Father. We thank you once again for this time and commit the rest of this day and the messages to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So when being asked to speak, usually it's helpful to think about, you know, either you have a topic that's already on your mind, or think about something that you're going through in your life that you need to go to the scriptures for, something that you need to search the scriptures for help in understanding how to deal with these situations. And that's the path that I wanted to go down for the message that I have today. The topic of discovery for me was based on a question that I asked myself. Oftentimes, when you sit from a company perspective, you sit in a town hall and your executive leadership gets up, or, you know, we'll see this, you know, with politics, a politician will get up who's in charge of a constituency of people, and questions will be asked, and they'll be interviewed. And one of the main questions that often gets asked is, so what keeps you up at night? And when I was thinking about that question for my life, what keeps me up at night in this stage of my life, in this time for myself, and I speak on behalf of Lovely and myself and our family, there's a couple things going on in our life right now that are, I could say, are topics that keep us up at night. Right now in this stage, Lovely and I have two beautiful children. We're so grateful to God, two wonderful blessings, Caitlin and Silas John. And at this stage, they're 4 years old and 1 year old, and at this stage, we have that great burden of responsibility and that desire to raise them up in a way that would be pleasing to the Lord, to raise them up in a way where they would come to a saving knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. And then at the same time, we think about the great challenges that we have and that we have facing us, you know, in this dark and scary world that we're going to be sending them into when it comes to school and various other things, programs. So our desire is to protect them. How do we protect them? How do we know that we're doing this the right way, or we're equipped to do what we need to do? How do we provide for them properly? The Lord blessed us with these children. They're His. They're not ours. The question that comes up a lot, are we doing the right job? Are we providing for them the way that we should be? And like I said, most importantly, the number one desire is, we can't make a decision for their lives, but are we doing everything, and are we doing everything that, to the best of our ability in leading them and guiding them spiritually and leading them, having that great privilege to lead them to salvation if the Lord allows that to happen. So that's one of the topics. The other one is from our local assembly, from a standpoint of our local assembly. We go to an assembly called Grace Bible Chapel in Fullerton, California. It's an assembly where I grew up and where Lovely joined me as soon as we got married. And family being one of the most important things, number two, where we're here on this earth as Christians, is our church family. And the way that we serve the Lord, the way that we grow together in this dark world, as I've mentioned, in our church, within our church, or our local assemblies. And we've had some struggles and some challenges over several years, and it goes back. There's always been faithful, but then there's always been some areas of opportunity and some challenges where we just hadn't been growing deeper and hadn't been growing in a way that we would feel would be pleasing to the Lord. And so, on a good note, some really wonderful things have been happening this year. The vision from the leadership has been shared with the assembly, and the assembly going deeper into the Word is seeing this and realizing all the potential that we have. And not for the sake of Grace Bible Chapel, or for this matter, if I'm speaking from my second home assembly, Edmonds Lane Bible Chapel, but for the sake of God's blessed us in this place. He's given us a church family, and He's given us a very specific pattern in regards to being a light and a testimony in this world. And what are we doing with it? And that's been kind of the challenge and the struggle that we had been facing for so many years. And like I said, some wonderful things have been happening this year. And yet there's been some obstacles. Whenever you try and you really work hard to serve the Lord and do the right thing, that's the time, as you all know and have experienced in your Christian lives, that's the time when most often challenges will arise. And the devil will definitely want to find a way to stop any glorification of God from happening. And so those are two areas in our lives that are of extreme importance and of desire for us to see some good positive movement. And it's where I can ask that question and it applies. What's keeping you up at night? And I'm sure if I were to ask each and every one of you, there's various areas in your life at your stage or at different places in your life where you could ask the same question and wonder, okay, where do I need some extra faith, extra strength, extra help in dealing with the situation? And so the message for this morning, I titled it Faith That Can Move Mountains. And really it's about going back and remembering and being reminded of the faith that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ, in our God, and what He's done for us and what He has, what He is capable of doing for us. So going back to faith, it's so wonderful to be able to turn to scriptures and to have theme verses as Christians for our lives and theme verses for topics within our study and within our Christian foundation or Christian faith. And we know in Hebrews we read about faith. And so first I want to go to Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews, we have, you can say, a definition or a description of what our faith is. And I'll first start by reading verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. So I'm starting on this path, continuing from what I talked about at the very beginning, the introduction, dealing with the area of challenge in my life and needing some help. Going back to this verse, I'm reminded of where my faith is placed, where I've placed my faith in the first place, where I am right now, just as a human being at 38 years of age. I'm a Christian. I'm a person who has come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ at some point in my life. It was at a very early age in my life. And this verse and the faith that I have in the Lord Jesus Christ by His grace and what He's given to me and shown me is something that is so powerful and beyond full understanding, but yet it's so real to me. And I'm reminded that when there was the most immense problem of my life, of what is my life all about? What is this world all about? and coming to a point of salvation, I can go back to that faith that I came to, that understanding that I came to, and be reminded, okay, so that same faith is going to be applicable in other, so many other areas of my life. In this passage, 11 chapter 1, we read that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The assurance of things hoped for. It's the things that are hoped for is as real as if I already have it right now. And the conviction of things not seen. When we think about that verse, I think about our eternal life. After accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, I asked those questions prior. What is this life all about? What is real? You know, what is beyond this life, and this earthly life? And I came to that understanding of an eternal life and exactly what happened, how it happened, and what I have as a result of just accepting, doing nothing else but accepting the Lord Jesus Christ's sacrifice and his payment for my eternal life. Well, that eternal life is something that every single one of us who have accepted the Lord and who have come to that saving knowledge of our Savior Christ, that is something that we have in this very moment. So how is that real? It's very difficult to understand, to completely understand with our finite minds. But we hold eternal life right now, though we're living in these mortal bodies. And we have that hope, just as was mentioned in the description of this faith, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That is how great that conviction is in our lives. And then we go on in verse 2, for by it the men of old gained approval. So we see great examples in Scripture that God approved of men and women. In the Old Testament, we see that in the New Testament, God approved of men and women who were there to serve him, who placed their faith in him in, with such great conviction, believing of those things that were there and possible for them, and following God's instruction. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. We can go back to creation. Creation speaks so much, speaks volumes of who we place our faith in, that it didn't just come out of nowhere, that eternal, powerful being, or God Almighty, used his hand of creation to create the entire world, and we can go back to that. His creation speaks of it and gives us confidence in understanding where we place our faith, that we can be confident in that. And so we have those verses that talk about our faith, the description of our faith that is so powerful. And we'll come back to this a little bit later, but that verse 6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please him. There's no amount of works that we could accomplish or do to come to God or to be worthy of coming into his presence, but by faith and to please him. And we could apply that in our lives, just in our general life as a Christian, that if there's a God-pleasing type of faith that we should have in our lives. And we must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So, telling you about a challenge, I told you about a challenge in my life, an area that I need help and I'm thinking about, and Lovely and I are thinking about and focused on. And we're able to go back to some of these verses, and there's so many other verses in scriptures that we could go through, but we come back to these verses where God clearly shows us this faith and makes it real to us and reminds us of this faith that we have in him. And then we go to a passage in Matthew, and we also have an account of this in Mark. Matthew chapter 17. Here's where our Lord Jesus talks about faith. The context of this is after Jesus and a few of his disciples came back from the scene of the transfiguration, they come down to a crowd, and there's a big ruckus there, and there's a man who's desiring his child, who is demon-possessed, to be healed. And we'll see the application of this passage after we read it. Matthew chapter 17, and start at verse 14. So when they came, this is speaking of Jesus and his disciples, came to meet the greater group. When they came to the crowd, a man came up to Jesus, falling on his knees before him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and is very ill. for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, You unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, Why could we not drive it out? And he said to them, Because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, Move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. So we read that description of faith, and now going into this very specific example or the story that we have in the scriptures where Jesus talks about faith. He says that even faith the size of a mustard seed is enough to move mountains. His disciples who were there with him saw and witnessed many of his miracles, right? And yet there was a time and place where they even lost their faith or didn't have a strong enough faith to be able to do what he's given them the power to do, which is heal this child. And we see a very stark rebuke from Jesus himself. One, he rebukes the demon out of the child. But two, he also rebukes his disciples. He rebukes the people who were with him who knew. They knew that he was capable of doing this. They knew that he gave them the power to heal this man. And yet because of their lack or littleness of faith, they were not able to do it. And he reminds us here, a wonderful reminder, going back to our faith, that even genuine faith the size of a mustard seed, so small, has such great power. But it's who we place our faith in and the capabilities, if we truly believe that he is capable of doing what we want him to do. And there's a caveat to that when I say what we want him to do that I'll talk about. But here, as I said, he's addressing their faithlessness and their unbelief and the limitations that they or we can put on the potential, on our potential being in him. I like how the passage in Mark chapter 9, the same story, which is listed in Mark chapter 9, verses 22 through 24, how we see a little bit extra point here within this story. As the man, the father, who's so desperate and in despair about desiring his son to be healed from this demon possession, he comes to Jesus directly. And Jesus asked him a question. How long has this been happening to him? After the father has described the torment that his son has been going through. And he says, from childhood, it has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. You hear the way that the man phrased the question to Jesus? If you can do anything, take pity on him. And Jesus said to him, If you can, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the boy's father cried out and said, I do believe. Help my unbelief. I thought that was such an interesting passage to read that there. Here, we know that this man is struggling with the despair, as I mentioned, of his son being tormented by this demon. And he's beating himself. He's putting himself into the fire, into the water. Just think as a parent, seeing your child go through such devastation in life. And he had some faith. He had to have had some faith to even come to the Lord in the first place, or to come to the disciples in the first place where he witnessed miracles being accomplished. And we see the great paradox in the believer's life. I mean, I can apply this to my own life, where I have this faith, and yet there's a lack of faith. I have the fundamental faith that brought me to the Lord Jesus Christ in the first place and given me that great conviction and evidence and power that I know what I have in him, and yet I can be faithless at times. Think of the way that the Father words this. He says, if you can, and Jesus turns it around and questions him, do you come to me asking me if I can do this? And then he gives him that bold statement that if you believe, it can be done. And I love the Father's response to this. It's very humbling, but it reminds me that God is so gracious to us. Jesus did heal the boy, The Father looks at Jesus and says, I do believe, but help me in my disbelief, or help me in my unbelief. Does that ring a bell with you at any point in your life? I can tell you honestly, it does with me at times. I have this great faith, but at times there's that unbelief, or there's that concern. How am I going to accomplish this? How am I going to deal with this very difficult situation in life? I go back to the thought of the anxiousness that we can have sometimes as parents, thinking about what will happen to our children. And I know you've felt that way before if you've had kids or loved ones. Where am I sending them? What are they going to be exposed to? Are they going to be influenced greater outside than they are in my home? Am I doing what I need to do? And I find myself at times questioning and asking, am I doing the right thing? And I look at that and I'm reminded through this passage that I, like that father at times, who have such a great faith to hold on to, can be faithless. But I'm so thankful that the Lord Jesus shows us his mercy, shows us his grace, and his willingness to meet us in those places where we stand. In this situation here, we see that when Jesus is talking about this faith, just the size, this genuine faith, the size of a mustard seed, can accomplish great things. We see how a mountainous obstacle can be removed when we face those difficulties, if we have faith in God's will for that situation. Same thing with the parenting, with our assembly, with what our desire is and which the direction that we want to go. There are obstacles that come along the way, but we know that through that faith, mountainous obstacles can be moved. We know that Jesus is speaking hyperbole when he's talking about a mountain being moved, but it's so wonderful to think about it. From a literal standpoint, the God that we serve, the God who saved us, is literally capable of doing the impossible. And it can be just moving a mountain with my fingertip and casting it into the sea. Now, we understand the application of this is for the spiritual things. And so when we think about this, and I think about how great and powerful this is, and I'm encouraged by it, reminded about this great faith that I have and what it can accomplish, I go back and I want to be cautious and reminded of where can it be misapplied or misused and misapplication of this powerful faith. And so some examples that I wanted to bring up, just I'm sure that we all have seen them or experienced them before. When we are placing our trust and our faith and this powerful faith in the Lord and for a given situation that we're facing, we want to make sure we don't confuse our will for God's will. That happens oftentimes when we think or convince ourselves, this is what God wants. I know this is what God wants. But when you peel back layers, multiple layers of the onion, sometimes you go and see truly, maybe this is what I wanted, and I'm trying to fit this into God's plan. Not being able to see past our desires and towards God's plan. So that's one area that we have to be very careful about, making sure we don't go down that path. Another one is expecting God to perform spectacular stunts to gratify personal desires or selfish or even ungodly desires. How many times can you turn on the television and go to a station where a televangelist is preaching? And there's some great ones out there, and there's some that are very heretical in what they're doing. And we see that oftentimes. You know, God is just they want to use God and this faith, this teaching of faith, to just perform stunts for them and great miracles. And we know that that's an area to be very cautious of and be careful and to be able to rightly discern through scriptures. And then finally, another one that I was thinking about is claiming that God will do something that may not be in his will. And if it doesn't happen, sometimes you'll feel or hear or could be discouraged thinking that maybe I didn't have enough faith. Maybe I didn't pray hard enough for this because what I wanted didn't happen. To illustrate this example, I go back, and many of you know that prior to Katie, Lovely, and myself, we were expecting a child back in 2014 and or 2013. And at 6 months, we found out, or prior to 6 months, at 15, 16 weeks, we found out that things were going terribly wrong. The baby was not developing the way that we would expect for a normal healthy delivery, for normal healthy growth within the womb. And we came across a very challenging time in our life. And I remember, you know, during that time, we struggled. We struggled quite a bit. But at the same time, I can look back and think of how God uses these trials. And there's so many passages in Scripture where we could see this, how God uses these trials to grow us, to make us grow stronger and deeper in faith. And that absolutely happened. And it was such a time that the two of us could be very thankful for. But while we were going through that process, you know, there were people who would come to us and say, just pray, don't worry, it's going to happen. The baby will be healthy, the baby will be here, and you could be praise the Lord for that, it's going to happen. And I would have that big question mark in my head, do I know that for sure? You know, and I knew, and I could appreciate that the Lord put on my heart that that wasn't exactly the way. I mean, we have every right and ability to bring our supplications to the Lord. If a family member is sick and your desire is, I want my family member to be healed. The beauty of it is we have that boldness that we can go before our Heavenly Father, who's so loving towards us, to ask Him for something that we desire. But we, rightly discerning God's word, we have that hope because we know it's His will over mine, and His will is greater, and His purposes are greater. And so when that happened, I always remembered thinking, you know, for those loved ones, and not to hold anything against them, it was just a different, I would say an incorrect perspective on the truth, where when they would give us that encouragement and it ended up not happening, and we were totally understanding and accepting of what God's will was in that, and we saw the beauty that came out of it, how do you answer that question if that's how you truly feel? Did I not have enough faith? Was I of little faith and that the desire that I have not get accomplished? And so those are just a few ways that I wanted to share with everybody here in regards to being careful and mindful of not misapplying the truth of this powerful faith and the doctrine of this faith that can move mountains. Faith is not abstract. We put our faith in the promises of God and the truth that He's revealed. That's the beauty of it. We have His holy word. We don't have to go anywhere, search deep and far, other than what He's given to us. The Holy Word, where we could see and understand what is His will, and understand His truth and His promises, and then be confident in where we're placing our faith and what we're desiring. Mountain-moving faith must be based on God's promises, not on what we wish will happen or what we fervently believe will happen. So as I'm thinking about this faith, I came up with a little faith test for me, just three simple questions that I can ask myself. When I'm placing my faith in something, or when I'm asking the Lord for something, desiring something, as I mentioned, the challenge that we've been faced with at this stage of our life. One, do I believe in His power? Do I believe that whatever I'm desiring, that God has the power to do it? Do I believe that He can move that mountain? Or do I believe it's just something that's way too impossible, it's not scientific, it doesn't make common sense for what my frame of mind can understand. So do I believe in His power? Two, am I seeking His will and not my will in what I'm requesting or what I'm desiring? And finally, three, will this bring glory to God? And I think oftentimes in the Christian life we experience that, we go through that, and we see at the very end that silver lining, the beautiful picture of how did this bring glory to God, whichever way the situation went. How did this bring glory to God? I'd like to reference John chapter 14, verses 11 through 14, to talk about this. Hear Jesus' words here. This is after started at 8. Philip said to Him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does His works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Once again, we see here Christ talking to Philip and showing that unity between him and the Father. And we can see if he has that unity and is expressing that unity between him and the Father, how much more is that union, or how similar is that unity that he has with the Father in regards to his will being accomplished and what he's capable of doing. He says, if you don't even believe these things that I'm saying, believe in the works themselves. They witness the works. They see, they witness that he had the power to do these things. And then finally, he explains how we are to ask in his name according to the will of the Father, who he was in 100% unity with. I go back and think about the Garden of Gethsemane. We just spent some time worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, remembering him through those emblems, and the work that was done on that cross. God, in the form of our God the Son, Jesus, and his eternal, prior to coming to this earth, he created the world. He created everything. He knew all that was going on. He was willing to take on that fleshly body and come down to this earth and take on such humiliation. And he, in that garden, knowing exactly what was going to happen, he went to the Father and asked, even if knowing how heavy of a weight this task was going to be upon him, asked if there was any other possible way that this could be done for this cup to be removed. But yet, what does he say in Matthew chapter 26? If this cup can pass, but he says, not my will, but thine. And he committed himself to the will of the Father. Another great reminder and the best example. I mean, there's so many wonderful examples that we could use in scriptures to act out and live out this faith. But there's nobody greater that we can go to than the example of our Savior Jesus Christ himself. And we see that in that passage. There was a story in the Old Testament in Samuel of a woman whose name was Hannah, who was also experiencing a big challenge in her life, big struggle in her life. We know from that story in 1 Samuel that she had her womb was closed. She didn't have the ability to have a child. And we see this example of a faith and a true faith in God in her dealing with this situation. I'm not going to go through the whole passage, but just picking out some highlights. Hannah had faith that the impossible was impossible, or the impossible was possible with God. Even though her womb was closed, she had faith that God could open her womb and she could have a child. She had faith in God's will to be accomplished through her request. You know, she wasn't asking selfishly, Lord, just give me a child so I can enjoy life like the rest of people, the mothers and fathers who are able to raise their children. She went before God knowing that he could open her womb, and then before she even had the child, she committed her child to the Lord. She gave him up before she even had him physically. Think about that. I think about the story of Abraham and Isaac as well, where he was willing, without question, to give up his very own son, give him back to God. Think about that faith. I'm reminded by this, once again, in this story of Hannah. She dedicated Samuel to God for his service. So we see later in the chapter, as we read, she's a woman who's distressed by the fact that her womb was closed. She goes to God, who has the power to open her womb, and she commits to God what she was going to do with that child. And then we see that God blessed her with a child. And then she went through a process dedicating Samuel to God for his service and then delivering him to the Lord's service. In the second chapter, that takes place in the first chapter of 1 Samuel, chapter 1. But in the second chapter, we hear a song from Hannah, praising God for his holiness, his knowledge, his power, and his judgment. I mean, this is after she gives up the child. She follows through with what she committed to the Lord and promised to the Lord. Just think about that. How many times would we be tempted to probably say, thank you, God, for this, but oh, I don't know if I can go through with this now. And yet we see this wonderful example in Hannah's life. She praises God for his holiness, knowledge, power, and judgment. after dedicating Samuel to the Lord. And then finally, we think about Samuel's life and service to God. There's a passage, or there's a commentary passage that I'd like to read in regards to Samuel's life. And this comes from Bill McDonald's commentary. Samuel was raised up by God to end the period of the judges and to inaugurate the era of the kings. He lived in a day that he saw the failure of the priesthood, represented by Eli and his sons, and the introduction of the prophetic ministry. Samuel himself was the last of the judges, the first of the prophets of this period, and the man to anoint the first kings of Israel. Although a Levite, he was not of the family of Aaron, yet he served as a priest, apparently with God's approval. His heart was pure and devoted. Go back to this story and think about Hannah praying for a miracle to happen in having a child. And this child, she was willing to give up back to the Lord for his service. And we see the testimony of Samuel's life and service to God. We referenced and talk about bringing glory to God through that experience. We reference Hebrews for our definition or description of faith. That same chapter, as we know, for the Christian is like the Hall of Fame for Christians, or we call it the Hall of Faith. And in that chapter, we see story after story, example after example of heroes of the faith in what they did and how they lived their lives. At the very end of that passage, we see, and what more, verse 32 of chapter 11, after going through that long list of all those people who lived their lives by faith, and what more shall I say, for time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and Samuel, and the prophets. I love to look at that passage of scripture and then put a dot, dot, dot right next to Samuel and the prophets and think. We see Samuel's name here, the one who Hannah prayed for. But when I go back and apply this to my life and the areas where we face challenges and the areas that we need help with, we can go back to where would I be in terms of this scripture here, in the continuation of this scripture. Can I say that by faith, we would be listed here, Justin and Lovely trusted in the Lord to dedicate their children to the Lord, to influence them the best way that they could, to protect them, to take care of them. When I think about our assembly, I bring up assemblies. We look to Edmonds Lane Bible Chapel and are very thankful for what God has done here. We see wonderful, beautiful things that have been accomplished here. And I want to share with you, it gives me such great joy and encouragement and hope in how the Lord has blessed this assembly and how the work of God here in this assembly and in the local community to be a light and a testimony in this dark world. We're seeing it, and we use you as an example all the time. So praise God for your diligence and for all that's being done here. And we are proud to be able to say that we have our home assembly here in Texas as well that we can learn from. This faith that can move mountains is very real. This faith that we have, that we came to the Lord Jesus Christ with in the first place, is very real, as we know. And so it's our great privilege to once again go back to his word and be reminded, when I'm facing any challenges, when I'm facing any struggles in life, can I be reminded of that? Yes, I can. I have his word to do that. I can go back and think about that father who's looked to the Lord Jesus Christ himself and said, I do have faith, I believe, yet help me in my unbelief. We can go back and thank God for his graciousness to us. Going back to that story of our son who we lost but who's in heaven now, Malachi, at the same time that we were going through that situation, at 6 months into the pregnancy, it was finally time where the doctor said, Lovely, you have no choice. For your health, for the sake of the family, for the child, we need to induce the baby. We need to deliver the baby, and we'll see where we go from there. And we were able to commit that to the Lord, be comfortable with what we needed to do, and go through that process. And so we did, and we prayed, if it was the Lord's will, that child would be with us, and if not, to take him early, and we will see him later. And that's exactly what God did. In that situation, we did struggle, and we saw so many wonderful ways how the Lord used that opportunity to build us up, to help us, and to just even in our marriage, showing us where I needed to be there for Lovely, where she was there for me, and relying on that faith and growing in that faith. It happened, and it was miraculous, and it was a wonderful, beautiful thing. But just following that, maybe a few weeks later, I came across a situation that I didn't know about. There's a coworker who happened to be going through the exact same thing at the exact same time that we were. Lovely, when this whole process was over, when everything was done, she shared a message to a lot of friends and family who were praying with us and committing us to prayer. And she sent out a message, and I was so encouraged by how her faith grew through that experience. And it was a wonderful message and a testimony and an opportunity for people to come to know about the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I was asked to talk to somebody who was an atheist, but who was going through the exact same situation based on that testimony that was shared. It was a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. And this person is an atheist. He didn't believe, and he was struggling so hard, and yet he saw something different in the way that I was able to handle that situation, not on my own, but because of what I had through the Lord. And I'm not saying that some miraculous thing happened. He's still an atheist. But there's a good opportunity that we had, and we grew a closer friendship as a result of this, to be able to swap stories and share two completely different perspectives on a very troubling thing that happened on this earth. And just the opportunity to think about a seed has been planted. Who knows what that will do? I leave it to the Lord to allow that to take hold and for him to come to a saving knowledge. And it's my desire and my responsibility to continue to be there. But a seed has been planted. And for that little opportunity, I can see, thank God, he was glorified. He had the ability to be glorified. And that's just one scenario. So many other things happen as a result of that, are opportunities to share and to reach out to other people. It's just another testament to God's faithfulness and his greatness to use any situation. And that reminded me once again in these passages and the scriptures that I'm praying that you are encouraged by this morning, that I've been very encouraged by, is one that I can go back to and think, Lovely and I are at a stage right now where our desire is to provide for our children in this way, leading to this saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. What else can I do but have that faith, follow his word, make sure I'm deep in his instruction, and use that as a guide for our lives? What else can we do within our church assembly? What else can all of you do in every aspect or any situation or challenge that you're facing? And there's nothing else that we want to do but go to the one who we know it's possible with. Let's close. Father God, we just thank you once again for this wonderful time to be able to open up your word that is a guide and an instruction manual for our lives, to be able to open it and clearly see answers to very difficult questions that we face. Lord, thank you so much for this assembly. We thank you for each of the saints here. We thank you for all the wonderful things that are happening here. We thank you for what you've blessed each and every one of us with, whether it's our families, whether it's children, whether it's our loved ones. You've given us so much to be responsible for while we're here on this earth. We pray, Father, that you will constantly lead us to your word. Help us to dig deeper and deeper, to grow stronger and stronger, knowing that it is you who we come to face all obstacles and challenges within our life. We thank you for the great eternal hope that we have, that this time that we're here on this earth is very short, and our desire is to be with you in eternity, and we will be. Help us to reach out to the dark, lost world to be able to have the same hope that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.